Well, good morning, everybody. This is Senior National Sales Director Cindy Fox and Angie, and our featured speaker will need to hit star six, of course, to unmute themselves. Go ahead, Angie.
Well, good morning, everybody. This morning I wanted to talk a little bit about Speaker's Corner. I know you're going to visit that when you go to London. It's going to be one of the most amusing and interesting places you've ever visited. It's a famous location for free speech, and it's the most famous in the world, actually, and it's situated in Hyde Park. It's a tradition that the speakers of Speaker's Corner mount up on soapboxes before making their speeches. In fact, there's an expression in England when someone's getting very opinionated, people say, oh, get off your soapbox, and that's where that's come from. Speaker's Corner began in 1855 when 150,000 people gathered in the northeast corner of the park to demonstrate against the Sunday Trading Bill. Anyone who wishes may speak as long as they avoid obscenity, blasphemy, or any incitement to a breach of peace. In fact, police officers tend to disguise themselves as members of the general public as they wait for inappropriate language or anarchy to break out. There is a popular myth that Speaker's Corner is located in Hyde Park because it was the previous location of Tyburn Gallows, where men and women would speak before their final words before hanging. Okay, so on that happy note, I'm going to introduce our speaker today. Dawn began her Mary Kay business in May of 1986. She spent 2.5 years working it part-time and then made a full-time commitment in 1988 when she became a sales director. Since then, she has earned the following prizes, commissions, and accolades. 14 cars, 12 have been pink Cadillacs, with the latest being the pink Escalade Hybrid. Over 50 carats of diamonds in rings, earrings, B-pins, and bar pins. A 1099 in excess of 100,000 for the last 20 years, and the last three being over 200,000. All expenses paid trips and cruises for her and her husband to Beijing, China, England, Germany, Hawaii, Alaska, Australia, and many more. Her unit has sold in excess of 450,000 in retail products per year since they began, with the highest to date of over 1.2 million in Seminar 2002. Her unit was number 6 out of 13,000 units in the country and number 1 in their division for Seminar 2002. Her unit has sold in excess of 450,000 in retail products per year, including 12 out of the 15 years qualifying for top director trips, and 2 years of Million Dollar Club. Her national area was recognized for being part of the prestigious Gold Circle, which means they sell over 250,000 in products a month. Dawn's highest commission check has exceeded 27,000, but her favorite accolade is her Miss Go Give Award for January 2000. Dawn has been married to Larry for 27 years, and they have 2 children, Jake, 23, recently graduated from Western Michigan University, debt-free because of Mary Kay, and a daughter, Alden, 21, who earned her first Mary Kay car and built a unit in her first 5.5 months of her business while being a full-time student at Western Michigan University. She is currently the youngest senior Cadillac sales director in Michigan. Please welcome Dawn Oaten-Sweeney.
Thank you, Angie. Thank you so much. And it was interesting about the standing on top of the box and they're making sure that you're keeping the peace and you're not causing anarchy. And actually, I hope I disrupt some peace today. I am praying that I just kind of push people outside of some comfort zones and make people a little bit uncomfortable, because humans drift towards convenience and comfort, but we never drift to excellence. That drifting will always take us to mediocrity. And I know of people who have dialed into this call want nothing to do with mediocrity. So I'm hoping, like, I would get arrested if I was standing on that block. And Cindy, I know it wasn't recorded, but will you share what you shared prior to starting recording about that conversation we had? Because people will understand why. It's just, I sat here and cried when you said that, because I'm talking about All In, and I'm talking about exactly what you just shared. And obviously, we didn't have any conversations this morning. So please share that, because it's very relevant and they will get it. It'll be very full circle by the end of this call.
Okay. Well, if you are not on the call early, every time before we set up the recording, I try to just give a little, I call it an early bird bonus for the people that do call in, you know, a minute early or right on time, and then we set up the recording a couple minutes after. So I shared during the early bird bonus that years ago, and I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, Mary Kay passed away in November of 2001, so it was after that. But and Dawn Ottensweeney and myself debuted as national sales directors together at July 2004 seminar. And sometime between November 2001 after Mary Kay passed and July 2004, we had a lengthy phone conversation. If I remember it right, it was well over an hour. And mm-hmm. that's a long conversation for two top sales directors, mm-hmm. much less nationals. And the company was in a transitionary phase. There was a feeling of uncertainty, I'm going to put it that way. And the leadership of Mary Kay in her passing was under scrutiny. The lady that was made CEO, I think I'm saying that right, Don,
uh-huh.
Was not a family member, not a member of the Mary Kay Ash family. And so it was just a feeling of uncertainty, and Dawn and I, of course, were no exception to everybody else, just wondering, okay, what's going on? And we had this long phone conversation to come to the conclusion of the matter, as Solomon would say, and that is that we were all in, that we, you know, Dawn said, I've put all my eggs in this basket, in this one basket, and I have to just press forward, you know, to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ, even in the face of everything that was going on with the company. We had to make that decision, and I told Dawn this morning, I said that currently I'm facilitating a Bible study on the book All In, which I read a while back, and now I'm doing a Bible study with some ladies with this book, and I was just reminded of that time and that we had to make a decision, you know, when it really looked uncertain and felt uncertain, that we had to be single-minded and look at us now. And look at us now. And it was so funny. I didn't know Angie was going to talk about the speaker's corner. And what's and Angie, uh-huh. just a little FYI, we say that here in America, get off your soapbox. Don't we uh-huh. say that? I didn't know it originated in England, however. So that was really interesting. But, you know, being willing to die, you know, and get on your soapbox and say what you say, I think that's the perfect intro for my friend, National Sales Director Dawn Ottensweeney.
Well, and thank you, Cindy, for all you've put together. I've loved these calls. And, you know, Monday mornings, those of you who are listening to this live, good for you. Those who are not, I would put it on your schedule or have it as close to your first thing and more Monday morning as possible. Mary Kay Ash did a Monday morning success meeting, and it set you up for the week. And most of us in Mary Kay were not paid pastors, so we are not working Sunday. Sunday's not like a work day for us. If we were, then it would make sense for Monday to be a day off or to get ramped up. We're not. We're usually off on Sundays. That means that Monday morning, like, we got to get back in the game and, you know, be ready to be forward focused. And I did that this morning. We had a house full, my brother here with a 6 and 7 year old niece and nephew. And wow, I mean, I have a 21 and 23 year old. So it's a little bit different issues and concerns, but a 6 and 7 year old running around the house, chasing the dog in a house that hasn't had babies in a while. Holy smokes, it was busy and crazy and fun, this morning it's like, okay, I got to get geared up for this call and get back in the game. And I had not listened to the call last week because I had a hair appointment that took a little while longer because there's a little few more unpigmented hairs that need to be taken care of these days. And so missed Kim Walker's message, and that's what I listened to this morning because I didn't want to cover the same things that she's covered, and she gets me going. The nationals that I've listened to, wow, I have gotten, you know, what I've needed to lead and give from a filled-up place. So thank you, Cindy, for putting this together. And London was my first trip. I just posted, you guys can see pictures on my Facebook fan page. You just go to Dawn Ottensweeney, look at my fan page, and there's a picture of me and Mary Kay Ash and my husband. I was pregnant with my daughter. At that stage in my life, I had been a director, that was my third year. In my first 36 months of Mary Kay, I had moved, had 9 different addresses. started in Cleveland, Ohio, then Michigan, then Douglas, Arizona, and then St. Simons Island, Georgia. And in that first 36 months as a consultant, I had done Queen's Court of Sales, Queen's Court of Sharing, earned a car, and then directorship. We used to have to do those separately for 3 months and then for 3 months. So 6 months of qualification to earn a car and then become a director. And at this time when I was on the London trip, I was pregnant with my daughter, who you heard is now 21, just got engaged at my area night at seminar, on the throne, is awaiting delivery of her very first pink CTS any day now. But I had that 18 months, I had an 18-month-year-old son while I was in London, was pregnant with Alden, so she was due in January. And that 18 months prior, so when I was qualifying for this trip, I had had a C-section. Jake was born. He had open heart surgery at 3 months of age, that we had to be air ambulanced across the country. We had no family in Georgia. My husband was a federal agent, so he worked a lot in unpredictable hours. And I was pregnant with my daughter. So, you know, just to give you a little lay of the land, like sometimes I think that, you know, situations have to look a certain way when people are like, you know, I can't build my business because I have no family to take care of my kids, or my husband can't help out with the kids. If I would have waited for either of those things to happen, I would not be a national sales director. I probably would not have gone on a trip because I would not have my husband home. The only reason he was home is because I worked to do the activity to get on a trip so that he could then retire when he was in his early 30s from being a federal agent. And give us the freedom and flexibility to build a life around God, family, and career versus his schedule as a federal agent and then what God was telling us and then our family and then my career. So London is near and dear to my heart. I think it's going to be very full circle when my daughter earns her first trip to London and when it'll be my first skyscraper area directors who earned their trip to London. We are still waiting for that record to be broken in our national area to have a trip director. And, you know, that's something I want to put out there, you guys. Those of you who, some are listening to this to take your business to the next level. Some are listening to it because, like, you're all about, you are getting on that trip. Somehow, some way, you are getting it, like Kim said, it may be ugly, but you're getting it did. You may not know exactly how you're going to do it, but you're getting it done. The first one, honestly, is a lot like that. I think it's easier when you go back and look in retrospect and can say, oh, yeah, this is how I did it. But a lot of times you're just going through and doing what it takes, just like you got your car and just like you became a sales director. But, you know, whose dreams are attached to yours? My directors that are working for their first trip to London, my dreams are attached to that, too, to have a director, you know, get that I've seen go from starter kit to sales director, get the packing list, you know, see the thrill that their husband gets, you know, getting on that airplane and going to London. And we were at a gorgeous hotel and having that check that, you know, you get for extra spending money and just seeing the awe in your husband's eyes of how the company just treats you like royalty, you know, and then all the things that you get to do just with the relationships and it changes who you are as a leader because it expands your circle of influence. But whose dreams are attached to yours? You know, I was Debbie Moore's first million-dollar director in her area once Kathy Helou was out of the equation. It's always nice when you take Kathy Helou out of the equation versus having her be Debbie Moore's number one director. But once Kathy Helou was out of Debbie Moore's national area, I was Debbie's million-dollar director and did trips out of 13 out of the 15 years. So that set the bar for that area. You know, you're that girl. You are that girl for your senior. You're that girl for your area or your future area. And you are definitely that girl for Mary Kay's mission. You know, Mary Kay's mission, her dreams of enriching women's lives, they're attached to yours. You know, and it may be your own dreams right now. But like Kim said, you know, in last week's call, she had no idea that she would need now what she needs now. Wow. She had no idea that she would need now what she needs now. Amen to that. I mean, I think of that. I have had flashbacks, like after retiring my husband at 33 years of age and I'm making the mortgage payment and moving back to the Detroit area because we wanted to raise our kids by family. And then, you know, really being grateful that I had worked my first 10 years around his geographic moves and his crazy schedule to be able to have that. I didn't know that in, you know, as I was working my business around all that with two babies 24 months apart and across the country from family. You know, I look back and I embrace those things as opportunities versus problems, stepping stones versus stop signs. And that's your choice, too. That's all of our choices at each of those places. You know, I didn't know that, you know, at one time just pursuing, you know, earning my ring. I wanted that $500,000 ring so badly and missed it, did $450,000 our first year. There was also the year that Jake was born and had open heart surgery that May, came back, and that was before the internet. That was before cell phones. So I had directors just drive in and do my unit meetings unbeknownst to me because we weren't in contact with people like you are now. Now you could do a virtual meeting. That was back in the day when that wasn't even possible. You know, I didn't know that I would, you know, need the income to support my family when my husband, you know, wanted to get out of a position that was asking him to really make decisions that were against his values and morals to continue to keep his position as a federal agent. You know, it allowed me to make the house payments. It allowed my husband to launch a couple businesses. The one now is just put him in his sweet spot to put my kids through private school from 2 years to, you know, gosh, through 10th grade for my son at $8,000 to $14,000 a year, you know, plus 6.5 years of college for the two of them, 2 years with both of them at the same time. And but a wedding right now, I had no idea that I would need what I know now that I need for a wedding for my daughter. You know that your dreams, your goals, they matter to you now, but they're also going to matter to your future in ways that you may only realize in retrospect. And unfortunately, I mean, it breaks my heart when I see women realize them in retrospect with regret. If it could have been different, if they would have been all in. All in. So again, Cindy's talking about All In. Mark Batterson is the author of that book. When I wrote this, I had no idea she was going to bring up that story. But I want to talk about what's all in. Because things can look all in from the outside. I mean, really, it can look pretty on the outside. You know, number one in your area or your unit, even beating your best from last year. But only you know in your heart of hearts, and God knows, that you still haven't thrown your heart across the line 150%. There's still more there that you're holding back. You know, maybe you're afraid like I was. You know, I was a $900,000 director. I had been on multiple top director's trips. But there was, you know, that dream of being a million-dollar director. I had seen Kathy Helu on the throne. I had seen Debbie Moore on the throne. I knew I was supposed to be a million-dollar director. But I was afraid that I would have to compromise my God first, family second, and career third. If I was doing this much work to get these results now, how in the world would I, you know, I'm not willing to compromise that time in my marriage and that time with my family. I mean, honestly, that was very prideful and judgmental that I was thinking that those women did and I didn't, even though I grew up with them as my mentors and I knew that they didn't. But, I mean, that's how Satan works with lies. And also that's how we work. We, like, pad our excuses. You know, I was afraid if I really threw my heart across the line and really went for it, my life would be all out of balance and I just couldn't control. Really, that was it, personal control. And that is what God was wrestling to take out of my hands. You know, fill in the blank. You know, maybe you're afraid of what? What are you afraid of to throw your heart 150% across the line and just go for it? You know, I got to that place, and it was the summer of 2000. So this would be prior to that conversation I had with Cindy. And, you know, probably a good thing that I had gotten to that point because, gosh, if I had been indecisive, what kind of seeds of maybe fear or trepidation could that, or double-mindedness, could that have planted in another leader? That's scary to think. But in my morning time, my morning time before technology. We didn't have technology back then, so it was a lot easier to take that quiet time. Like, literally now, I have to, like, that's been my commitment for the last year. Not look at my phone, not look at my Vox, not look at my Facebook, not look at my email, not look at technology until I have that time. In His Word, time and study, protected time. I was a $950,000 director at this point in time, and I was reading the Bible verse. This is also posted on my Facebook fan page that Mary Kay Ash had given to me at New Director Training when we were all at her home. She handed each of these to each of the directors in my class, and it reads Matthew 25:14-30. Love, Mary Kay. Look it up. You know, and look at, there's three different scenarios. And one of the stewards of the talents took no risk, was conservative, played it safe, didn't go 150%, didn't want to lose or make anyone unhappy, definitely a people pleaser, took the safe choice, buried the talent. Ah, he does not get a good response there. It is not pretty for that third person. Mary Kay handed this to us. This meant something to her. I mean, I think as people, she wanted us not to be the play it safe and the people pleaser, and then not throwing your heart across the line 150%. But also, she's depending on us and her mission not to be that person. So I knew I was called to do a million, and I was committed to be an ambassador of Mary Kay's mission. But I had to be convicted. And I was convicted that morning, like, okay, this is what you're teaching. When you point your finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at you. I was seriously convicted, like that kind of conviction is like, oh, my gosh, like I totally missed this. Like, I'm that person. I'm that third person. I am not 150% in. Like, in the Mary Kay world, this looks really great, and there's a lot of people that trade places with me. But this is not great because God knows. Like, He knows. I'm not 150% in. I've been holding back, because I don't really believe that I can be that million-dollar director and still be the mom and wife that I'm called to be. And the other things that I did. We had restarted a church, launched the small group ministry, et cetera. All of us have a lot of life and a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff that we're involved in. But I was convicted. And conviction is a good thing. It's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts you of sin, you repent, and it's forward-focused. Totally separate from condemnation. That's a whole other topic, whole other soapbox, but you got to get the difference between it. Condemnation makes you forward, focus backward and live in regret. It is not of God. God does not use condemnation as a tool. It is definitely a tool of Satan. I was convicted to the point that I was on the floor in my bedroom. I can picture the couch there. I can picture the floor, snot running down my nose, like scared to death to lay this on the altar. Scared to death to give up the control and just say, okay, I'm going to do it, God. I'll do whatever you want, like to be a million-dollar director every day. Just, like, walk me through it every day. I also put a little caveat at the end. Okay, but at the end of the year, if it doesn't, you know, work out that I really had to make too many sacrifices in all those arenas, I can always go back to what I'm currently doing. Oh, my gosh, I know I'm going to have some serious conversations with God about my little uppity telling Him what I'm going to do behavior, but He's worked that pride out of me and continues to do it layer by layer by layer. So I was convicted, and I threw my heart across the line, and I was scared to death, really scared to death. Like, what? I know what it's looked like, and I can kind of control this whole trip director thing, but I have no idea. But I'm going to do it if that's what I'm called to do, 150%. And you guys, that's a step out in faith. And maybe some of you out there, you need to get quiet and get in His Word and open up His Word. And you know what I recommend? Start by asking in our director's Bible study that we do weekly, Maggie Sitar suggested in our small group this exercise. And I want to encourage you guys to do this yourself. And I don't have time to walk through it with you here, but do this when you get off the phone or stop driving or wherever. Ask yourself, if I earn the trip, and don't say, well, I'm not going to earn the trip this year. Like, stop it. When I earn the trip and I have this extra money, what would I do with it? What would I do with it? Kim walked through with you how we make our money and all your bonuses last week. So if you haven't listened to that, re-listen to that one. If I had that extra money, what would I do with it? And then let's just say it's a family vacation. Okay, so now you have the family vacation. Then what would you do with it? I'd pay off this debt. Okay, then what would you do with it? I want you to keep asking yourself that question. keep asking yourself that question until you get to the point where you start crying and you figure out what you would do with it. Because, you guys, when you get to that point, you know a lie. And, you know, the point that I'm at now that makes me cry is there's so many needs in this world. And I want to be able to be that person when there's a need that tugs on my heart and God makes clear that you're the person supposed to be financing it. I want to be able to invest in that. I mean, right now there's thousands of dollars a month that automatically come out of my account for those needs. I want that just to grow. But that's also a motivating factor. Like, I can't say, oh, well, you know, we could just live on this money that I'm making, you know, comfortably as a national and, you know, not really press forward and be 150% in. But I can't because I need those things to be taken care of for those people. And I just increase those needs so that I have to do more. So I have to always play at 150%. Because, again, humans don't coast towards excellence. They coast towards comfort and convenience. I was at a new director's debut last week, and when we have the director share, you know, their best year, you know, what they did before Mary Kay, what they love, what's their best year. There was 17 directors there, and so between the 17 directors, I added up their best months, divided it by 17 to get an average. And these were directors that had been directors 3 months to 28 years. They were, you know, from early 20s to probably 65 years old. So the average year, $83,250 a year income. So granted, that's their best month. So I cut that in half. Half of it's $48,705. You guys, take these stats into consideration. The average income for a woman in the United States, according to Success Magazine, is $37,790. 72% of women in the workforce are unhappy with their job. And a third of women in the U.S. are living in poverty or less. The average income of a college grad right now is $19,000 a year. Those are pretty amazing statistics. What are you going to do with the money? Get to the point where you cry and know your why, because then honestly God's going to convict you, and it may be of control of your business to put it on the altar. You know, lay it down. I when I got up from that snot on the floor time with God and just said, okay, like, I have no idea what this is going to look like, but I'm all in. Like, you've got it. It's up on the altar. And that was scary to me because I didn't know what he was going to do with it. What if he gave it back to me and it was less than a top director? I was making our mortgage payment. I had our kids in private Christian school. I'm like, hey, God, like, you know, again, another caveat, you know the expenses I have here. So we at least have to, like, all in has to be at least this level. Again, not recommending these conversations for you to have with him. But I am recommending, you know, stepping out in faith. And that, it's going to look so, so different than you expected. You know, that was in the summer of 2000. So I think it was after seminar. I want to say this was in August. I'd have to go back through my journals. And please, journal. When God makes things clear, we got to write it down because we think we're going to remember and we're not. And it says in his word to build a little altar of rocks there so you can remind your children. And you know when God has been clear in your life. You start looking at those pile of rocks and they're going to direct you. They make decisions in the future so much easier because God is orderly. And he has, his ways are different than our ways, but he wants you to be able to make sense of them. He doesn't want us, you know, walking around in confusion and frustration. And so that September, I had a red jacket. It's, you know, one of my amazing directors, Kim Polson. She was like a red jacket, really a sleeve. Like, I think her mom and another, you know, family member had gotten her into a red jacket to go to seminar in a red jacket. But that September, she recruited three in August, maybe went on Target Car. October, she went into DIQ. By the end of November, she was a sales director with 50 people in her unit and had did $22,500 in wholesale DIQ production in November, which is still a national area record. Well, you added that on to what my unit was doing, I mean, the belief that I could do a million was right there. And I hadn't done anything different because Kim made the decision to move. I wasn't doing anything different, but God was not going to move her until me as the leader had thrown my heart across the line. When there's double-mindedness, do not be surprised if God does not bring those ready right now women to you. Why would he? You can't, you're not leading yourself out of double-mindedness. He can't depend on you to lead other women out of it. I want to give you a little formula for when you're frustrated or disappointed in your business, because generally the first place we go to is us. And sometimes it is us. Sometimes it is your double-mindedness. Sometimes it is going to be a place that you need to be convicted. Sometimes it's a place that, you know, you do need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes it's a place that God has to do a work in your character for the position he's called you to. But I want to give you this formula because that's not where you start. You know, if you're not where you want to be in September, you know, if you don't personally have a gold medal, you guys, this is $75 starter kit time. Between now and next Monday, everyone who's listening to this call should have a gold medal, at least, maybe double gold or triple gold. Because I guarantee you, if you were in VIQ and you wanted to finish your unit up this month, you would get 15 people between now and Monday. You'd get 15 people next Monday if you needed to be in VIQ. We're going to have brand new consultants that get their starter kits this week, the $75 starter kit. And it, as long as their leader paints a picture of what's possible, she's going to get 10 people by Monday. She's going to be in VIQ in October, and she's going to be with us at Leadership Conference in Nashville. So, you know, if you're not where you want to be in September, unit agreement-wise, your personal model-wise, you know, DIQs, how many recruits do you need to go into DIQ? You know, you're called to leadership. We need leaders in Mary Kay. Mary Kay is paying you to be leaders. When I became a director and the Nationals Alliance became directors, we got unit numbers. You guys get designer handbags, gorgeous rings, cash bonuses, wallets, invitation to parties. We got unit numbers. The company is paying for leaders because if we don't have directors, we don't have nationals, and we need nationals. If you're stirred up by this because you know you are a leader or this is inside of you, you know there's more, you haven't played 150% out, it's not accidental that you're in Mary Kay, Inc. at a time such as this. In my 28 years, this is the most perfect storm we've had between the economy supporting the need for Mary Kay in our economy. Gosh, those numbers just spoke to that. And product-wise, people are all for the value. TJ Maxx and Ross and Marshalls, they want value. They want a good product, a good name, but they're not willing to pay too much for it, which is what we dealt with when I came into Mary Kay. It was all about status. It's a perfect storm between selling products and selling this opportunity. There's never been an easier time to build a Mary Kay business. So if your September isn't what you wanted to look like, or maybe your July through your 9/22 haven't looked like, this is the formula. You know, first you look at numbers, and numbers are number, as a director, your unit size, and then your leads that you've gotten in the last 90 days, the new faces you put the products on in the last 90 days, the number of people you've talked to personally about the business in the last 90 days, and the number of people you've talked to for your unit. The next category you would look at is target market. The next category is skill/stats. And the fourth is you. So if you're not where you want to be, generally people look at themselves first, and if they get past that, they go, oh, I need to do more. It's skill/systems. I'm sorry. I said the wrong word. So number three is skill/systems. So first people usually say there's something wrong with me, and then if they get past beating themselves up, then they'll look at I need to know more, or systems. Directors will look at systems like office help, new consultant orientation, child care, et cetera. And then if we get past that, then we'll go, oh, it's the people I'm working with, either my unit members or my customers. And then if we get past that, then we evaluate the numbers. You guys, the numbers don't lie. And that's the first place you go to. It's how you can change things fastest. And you don't really know what the issue is with those other things unless you're doing your numbers. So you look at your numbers and jot those down, and then you go to your mentor. So if it's a director, you know, you're going to talk to your senior director or someone in the position that you want to go to, a trip director. Where are your numbers for your unit size? It's, you can earn a trip with 50 people, but it's going to be challenging. It's going to be a lot easier to earn a trip with 150. And 150 of new people is a lot different than 150 of seasoned people. My seasoned unit of 150 probably isn't going to do a trip this year. We're going to have to throw some new people into the mix and get some people in cars and DIQs and new units to earn the trip. So look at your numbers first, and what do you have to change there? You may have to change some of the target market that you're working with. When my daughter earned a car as a college student, I just told her, you're going to need more people to earn a car. You can't earn a car with 14 college students. It's unlikely. You can, but it's unlikely. Let's work with the averages. And so she had to have 20 people to earn a car, and she had to have over 45 to become a sales director. As long as you know what you're working with, though, you can work with it. And then skill and systems, so much information on that. And then there's you. And those are the times that really you have to ask yourself, are you all in? There's a couple words I wanted to throw out there this morning for you guys to think about that I've been hearing a lot about, studying about, training a lot about. One is grit and one is resourcefulness. I first heard about grit in my yoga class. I like yoga because first off, I'm not good at it, and so it's a challenge for me. I like it because of the health benefits. I don't do it. It's not my religion. Don't get worried. Don't worry about my salvation. I am absolutely fine. It is not my religion. It is a form of exercise that may be the most healthy form of exercise. And with my husband as a strength and conditioning coach, my family knows a lot about health and what's best for longevity and as you age. And so, but our yoga instructor, when you get to some of these hard places, she talks about grit. This is where you develop grit. And you guys, that's where we're at in the month. This is where we're at in the Mary Kay year. This is where people bail out of the goals and the dreams that they had deposited into their heart at seminar or clarified or resurrected. And she said, this is where you learn grit. This is where you develop it. This is where you see, like, how gritty you are. And then she talked about that her son was just going through his orientation at high school, and the principal was talking about in schools they're actually starting to measure grit because they're realizing that grit is more important than how these kids' IQ, their intelligence, their vocabulary, you know, their other things that they have been involved in or are tested on is less of a factor in their success in life than their grit factor. There is on my Facebook fan page, you can also get it, because if I could read this whole article to you, I would love to, but I, again, don't have time. It's called The Grit Factor by Bob Carney. One of my consultants, Cindy Jackson Williams, sent this to me. It's from Golf Digest. And pull it apart, read it. I mean, it talks about psychologist or professor of psychology talks about the foremost predictor of success with school children isn't social intelligence. It's not good looks. It isn't physical health. It isn't IQ. It's grit. And she defines grit as a passion and a perseverance for long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. It's living life as a marathon, not a sprint. Other traits like deep-seated optimism, a willingness to delay gratification, and most important, an attitude that sees obstacles as part of learning. This woman found that the same thing in teachers and salespeople that make them successful can make an amateur golfer develop grit. And she said, you know, is it possible to develop it? You know, if there's motivation, it's never too late. Unlike intelligence, grit is a trait that you can acquire. You can learn it. And you guys, that grit is important. You're at a time where you got to be gritty. You know, she talks about discipline and the importance of having a mentor and a coach, and the importance of practicing has to be measured and monitored and evaluated, and that it has to be purposeful. And also, too, you know, talks about that sometimes, you know, we live in a country where it used to be that, you know, it was thought that if you had grit, that you could be successful in our country. And now we're seeing that, you know, that is not a common thought process. And part of it is because we have parents that haven't allowed their kids to fail at all. So they do not know how to have that bounce back ability and get back up. So check out that article, and because grit is something that Mary Kay Ash had. If she didn't have grit, she wouldn't have started this business after her husband had died and when people said it wasn't possible. Her dreams and her grittiness made it possible for us to have this conversation, to have everything, and the women to have everything that we have all over the world because of the Mary Kay opportunity. You know, check out that article. I wanted to read the last. It says, grit is not about being hard on yourself. And it's less about what you accomplish than what you become on the way. Grit is who you are before it reveals itself in what you do. Oh, so good. So grit is a word that we're talking a lot about in resourcefulness. Bill Hybels, who is a senior pastor at Willow Creek Church in Barrington, Illinois, hosts an amazing leadership conference. It's called Global Leadership Summit. highly recommend that you check it out. It's every August. It is the best leadership conference that I go to as far as, I mean, obviously Mary Kay's leadership conference is for us as Mary Kay leaders, but this is a leadership conference for the for business and philanthropic and spiritual leaders around the world. Over 180,000 leaders will be plugged into this. You can see it telecast around our country at different churches. But Bill Hybels just believes that, you know, we should bring the best and the brightest. I mean, sometimes you're listening to the economic chair of, you know, China, or you're listening to the CEO of Starbucks, or you're listening to, you know, a writer of a, you know, amazing business book, or you're listening to a pastor of a church. You're listening to Christine King. You're listening to all these amazing people that help alter, you know, how you think. And Bill Hybels this year was talking about resourcefulness. He said the number one arsenal, the number one weapon a leader has in their arsenal is resourcefulness. And he said you must have resourcefulness to be successful in this ever-changing world. And you don't know if people have resourcefulness unless they're given tasks to prove that they have it or not. Like, that's an important part of leadership development, is putting people in tasks that have real pass-fail results, you know, results to evaluate your preparedness. And I love when he was talking about this, because our business has these built in. Mary Kay gives us pass-fail tests. I mean, right now, your pass-fail test September is, how many agreements are you getting in? What was your goal at the beginning of this month? That's your pass-fail test. Your production, you know, new reds that you committed to develop, your unit size, you know, your leadership party qualifications. We have quarterly, monthly, yearly, mid-yearly task with pass-fail results. Those are good things, because then if you don't get the results that you want, you go to that formula that I gave you. That formula you use to coach yourself through what tweaks you need to make. That formula you give to your people and you use to coach them through what tweaks they need to make. You know, at 1 a.m. October 1st, you take that formula and see how you did. You make the strategy changes and you figure it out. This is something that Bill Hybels said. He said resourcefulness. He said back in the day, his dad would, you know, put him on all these adventures, and some of them were pretty crazy. Like, one was when he was like, it was like 11 or 12 years old. I mean, he was an early teen, not like a driving teen. And Bill had talked to his dad about wanting to learn how to ski or something about skiing. And so a few weeks later, his dad said, okay, you have a train ticket to Aspen, Colorado, from Kalamazoo, Michigan, by himself. And you're going to get out there, and this is the hotel you're staying at, and then, you know, you're going to go to the ski slope and you're going to learn how to ski. And Bill's like, I've never really been on a trip by myself, and how do I know that I get to Aspen? And his dad said, you'll figure it out. And so Bill said he got on the train, and when he got off the train, he was like 45 minutes still from the hotel, and he had no idea what to do, but he figured it out. And then he got to the hotel, and he had no idea where the mountains were. It was dark, and he didn't know how to get there, but he figured it out. And then when he got to the mountain, he's like, I had to figure out how to get down the mountain without killing myself. And he goes, it was on my butt a lot in a snowplow position, but I figured it out. And he goes, my dad put me in for the next 10 years all sorts of scenarios so I would figure it out. And you guys, that reminds me of Mary Kay in Daylene White. And I just heard Debbie Moore say this when she was here doing a training for consultants, and it really stood out to me. Because I think I had forgotten that I was raised up by women who said, figure it out. We did not have the internet. We did not have Facebook. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have all these things to, you know, to turn to other people for what they're doing or what their advice was. We had to figure it out. Like, you got an Applause magazine. I would talk to Debbie Moore maybe once a month, and it was after 9 p.m. because before 9 p.m. was really expensive if people were out of your area code. We did not have cell phones. So you had your success meeting, and you had your consultant's guide, you had your Applause magazine, and you had your – I was across the country, so I had my once-a-month chat with Debbie Moore. That, in between, I had to figure it out. And I look back, that has served me so well, served me so well. I mean, it right now – you have more access to information than we've ever had in Mary Kay, and people feel more inadequate and are doing less than they ever have in Mary Kay, like per person. There are some people that are figuring it out, and we're seeing them come into Mary Kay and take it by storm because they already have proven they have grit. They have grit, and they're resourceful. And you guys do too. Like, you may, you know, have allowed yourself to think that you don't and you don't have what it takes. That is not true. You do have what it takes, because God does not place a dream in your heart without already resourcing it. You don't change the goal and dream that God deposited and clarified in your heart at Seminar 2014. You tweak your numbers. You tweak your target market, your skill, and your systems. You change whatever God's calling you to change. Your thoughts are first and foremost. That only thoughts only change by what you read and who you listen to. You know, I'm listening to the National Sales Directors in the London Calling. In my 167 hours a week that you also have, schedule in when's your study time. Mary Kay said to listen to a CD a day. Now it may not be a CD. It may be a conference call or a conference call recording or a Vox. Listen to one every day. She also said, what are you reading? She said, you're going to become like the five books you've most recently read. Before Mary Kay, mine were Danielle Steele and Cosmo magazines. That is a pretty scary thought. I mean, what are you listening to? What are you reading? I just gave you the grit factor to look at. T.D. Jakes, I just heard him speak. Oh, my gosh, wish I had time to share, you know, about his book, Instincts, and what he shared. But, you know, his book on instincts, the faith to step out and do something you didn't know how to do, check it out. Maybe you need that book. Maybe you need Mark Batterson's All In. Stephen Furtick, Don't Stop at 6. Go to Elevation Church. Again, you guys, these resources are all listed on my Facebook fan page because I've been talking about them. On Elevation Church, go to Don't Stop at 6, the sermon. People, the top three reasons people stop before they reach their greatest victory of what God's called them to. You know, you change your thoughts, you make different choices. You make different choices, your life changes. You guys, remember other people's dreams. They're attached to yours. Reaching your goals is more important than maybe you currently realize. So let me pray for you before I close. Dear Lord Jesus, I just pray that the women who are listening to this call that are just stirred up, that they know that they haven't been all in, not 150% in to what you've called them to, Lord, that really that they will just follow through and just throw their hearts across the line, trusting you, like jump off the cliff knowing that you've got them, knowing that they can lay down, you know, their control, their pride, their fears, all on the altar, all on your altar, and give it all back to you, Lord, and then get back up and just walk this out day by day, following your word, you know, in faith. That you have not called any of us to be part of this mission at Mary Kay's, you know, really critical time when a baton is being passed from this generation of Pioneer Legacy Nationals to the next. They're part of this, Lord. All the women that are listening to this are part of this. I pray that they'll embrace the part that they've been called to, that they'll rise to the occasion like you have designed them to. They are more than enough. I pray that every woman that hears this will be encouraged, will be challenged, will be convicted if necessary to go out and be a better equipper of women, a better impactor of your kingdom through this incredible vehicle of Mary Kay Cosmetics. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dawn, this is Cindy. Oh, my gosh. You talk faster than I write, and I'm not Kathy Hello. I can't type 120 words a minute. Mercy. Okay, when you were given all that stuff from Success Magazine, I was oh, this is priceless right here. So the average income of the directors that you're meeting, is that what it was $83,250?
Yeah, so I added up that at the event there were 17 directors. They shared their highest month to date. And so out of the 17, the average was $83,250 a year.
And half of that was $48,750.
Yeah,
said
so I said, okay, let's take an average month then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Success Magazine, average income of a woman in America is $37,790.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then where did you go? Then you
this was 72%. Of women are unhappy in their jobs.
Are unhappy, okay.
A third of the women in the U.S. are living in poverty or less. I'm not sure what the dollar amount is, like the U.S. economy is, just the government has determined what poverty
Google
level is.
That. Yeah, okay.
And then the average income of a college grad right now is $19,000 a year.
Do you, yeah, I got that. Do you know how... That is what an aha moment, because, you know, my kids, my twins, are going off to college next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think of how much you're paying a year.
Yeah, and look at what I'm paying.
$19,000 a year when they get done.
And they're going to make, yeah.
Well, you guys, no stats, Success Magazine, Chris Krizawa had shared that with me because it was her new director, Tammy Patton's debut. So those are, she shared those at the debut from Success Magazine. So I'm just passing that on.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you said about when you're double-minded, God will not send you ready right now, people. It reminded me of a story. And this is a friend, director of mine, Tanya Satcher. She's a top director, senior Cadillac director under Karen Pirro. And she won her first Cadillac, you know, and then when she tells this story, 2 years later she was requalifying. And, you know, she wasn't doing Cadillac production, so she reasoned and she rationalized, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with going down to the Equinox, or which is not going down. That's not a good term, but y'all know what I mean. Driving a car that's not pink, okay? Uh-huh. I'll be okay with that. And she said in the qualifying period, rocked on. She wasn't anywhere near close. And then she had like a prodigal son wake up in the pig pen moment, because it was the end of the second quarter, and she thought, oh, my gosh. So she got on her face before God, and she repented, and she said, my negativity, my doubt, whatever. And she said, and when you get real with God, God will send you real people. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Isn't that right? And so that went right along with what you're saying. You know, so if you're listening to this call today and you're not all in, as Dawn has so beautifully shared with us, what it means to be all in. Number one, you need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just need to get real with God and say, my attitude is messed up. You know, because it's all about not trusting Him. Everything in life, and you and I have talked about this, as boils down to one thing. We either trust Him or we don't trust Him. We either trust God or don't trust God. But your talking made me, all those figures, what would that money, extra money of earning the trip do for you? And so I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, because, you know, you and I both were numbers kind of thinkers. And so I just kind of loosely did it. $325,000 wholesale does $650 retail, right, for the trip, right? If just based on 13% unit commission, that's $42,250. In volume bonuses, you know, of course, that's going to vary depending on if you do 27,000 plus a month, or if it's up and down or whatever, but around about 32,400 in volume bonuses. Your recruiting bonuses, of course, those are going to vary. I just figured the basic, you know, 500 a month for, you know, okay. And so that's 6,000, that's 80,650 right there, just because you did trip. And a lot of these directors are senior directors, so that's not, you know, any other senior director commissions, that's not any wellness bonus, star bonus, any of that. I mean, wow, what could you do with that money? And then being forward thinking enough to think, like you said, let's get out of debt, you know, what will I do? Well, we'll take a trip. Well, we'll buy a second home. Well, then whatever. Okay, then what? And until it makes you cry, you know, till it makes you cry, what would you do? You know, what would you do? And that's really, it's not about us. If we could just get past that. And anyhow, you just made so many great, and I loved your verbiage, perfect storm, that this is a perfect storm. And it is.
It is
the perfect storm.
Yep.
And you know, how to check yourself, you know, with unit size and numbers first, and how many people are you talking, target market skills, and then it's you. Do you know, since the first time you taught us that, taught me that, and I don't even remember when that was, a long time ago, I still use that and probably use it at least weekly, at least weekly, and at month end it seems like daily.
Yeah.
You know, when people are talking to me, I'm like, yes. But I read that article on grit, and it is powerful, and I hope everybody goes and looks that up, because it is the grit factor. It is God's will that we let patience have its perfect work, or have her. I think it's interesting that the King James Version puts it in the feminine sense, let patience have her perfect work. King James Version also puts wisdom in the feminine sense of the word, just saying. Just not a women's liver, but I just think that's funny. And you know, I'm a follower of Stephen Furtick also, and there's another, if you haven't heard it, that I want to recommend to you and everybody. And I think he recorded this one back in May of this year, but it's called Death by Distraction. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it is so Mary Kay relevant, Death by Distraction, and he talks about the, you know, the parable of the talents, and when he also talks about the seed, you know, the when we Mark chapter 4, when we sow seed, and some seed falls by the wayside, and some gets choked out, and it's distraction, and what that's like. So anyway, I know there's other nationals that want to speak up, but thank you. Who else wants to speak up? Remember, y'all got to hit star 6.
Dawn. Dawn.
Hey there.
It's your birthday girlfriend. Oh, my gosh, Dawn. You guys, I just have to say this. First of all, Cindy and Dawn, you guys are just a dynamic duo. And since you became nationals together, this is your year to become Inner Circle Nationals together.
Oh, I received that.
Amen, yes.
I mean, really,
yep.
You guys are so smart. You're such a brilliant duo. You are. It's just your time. Dawn, my text has been blowing up from my directors. They love, just like I do, listening to you. You are brilliant. Beyond. And your heart is so awesome. I love how you study the word. I love how you take the business, you're such a strong business sense, and bring that along with your heart for the Lord into everything you do. You are just one of the smartest women I know, and you deserve to be an Inner Circle National because your influence has to be shared with the entire Mary Kay world. And unfortunately, until you get to that plateau, you know, it's not going to be as strong. And that's why you just have to do this. You have to. You're smart. You know, what you said, out of everything you said, you know, forget Success Magazine, forget True Grit, forget Resourcefulness, even though I've written every word down, what Mary Kay and Daylene White were always about, figure it out. Mary Kay never gave us the how-to. She inspired us. You know, and you were so right by reminding everyone. You had an Applause Magazine, a consultant's guide, and a once-a-month call for an hour maybe after 9 o'clock. You figured it out because you were so busy booking appointments, holding appointments, working full circle. You know, you are like, you are the whole culmination of grit and resourcefulness. You worked through so many challenges in your life, and you've just become such a light in our company, and you're just making such a difference. I mean, really, I told my directors, you can't miss Dawn. You can't miss Dawn. I don't care what you have scheduled. Do not miss Dawn. You were so smart in telling them, you know, to put this on their schedule. I mean, honestly, I said this to Debbie last night. How many people are really doing facials at 10 o'clock on Monday morning? Really? Come on. They're just still brushing their teeth and getting out of their bedclothes. You know, they need to be listening at 10 o'clock, in my opinion. I feel the same way. You need that boost. So I just want to say thank you for reminding everyone, you know, that this is, it's so simple. It's just they have to make the decision. And if they have to get on the carpet and get carpet fibers up their nose and snot on their floor, then that's what they need to do. But they got to do business with the Lord because that's where it all starts. And I just want to say thanks again. You always, always, always inspire me to think differently. And I just love you as a sister in Christ. And thank you for inspiring my people, you know, and everybody who gets the privilege of being in your space.
Thank you, Kathy. I love you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Welcome, Kim Walker. Can you hear me? Oh, my gosh, Dawn. Oh, I tell you, this is my homegirl. You know how much I love and appreciate you. This was so extremely powerful, and I haven't gotten that book, so I am going to get it because I know that school is never out for the pro, and you absolutely, just your transparency, Dawn, I tell you, I just love, like Kathy said, I could listen to you all day long, and I just appreciate you, and I appreciate your willingness to give and all you do for all of us in the kingdom. Amen. And I'm really excited that God is truly blessing you, and you know, I've watched the perseverance in your business and your marriage in so many ways, and you are such an inspiration for me. I appreciate you. I'm so glad you're ahead of me, glory hallelujah, with your children, with your marriage, because you inspire me to persevere on, and I can't wait to be there to celebrate Allie's wedding and just so many things, Dawn, but your wisdom and your intelligence absolutely needs to be experienced by all in Mary Kay. So I love you and I appreciate you and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. You got me going this morning.
Amen.
Hey, Hey, Dawn, it's Kim McClure. How are you, my friend?
Good morning.
Oh, my gosh. You know, every time that you speak, you always shift me and you always move me and you always fill my cup. I could have run with any sentence that you said on today's call for a whole month. It's such powerful things. And I love how God confirms things because my directors and I are studying All In as well in a Bible study. And
oh, wow.
I marinated in it this morning again and just, gosh, every page is so rich. And every time you come to a new level, there's a new definition of what does All In look like.
Uh-huh.
And